Okay, morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Kuf Tes Vav. We're in Kuf Yud Aleph Beis. We're at the two dots. We are discussing today Mechusar Zman. Okay, so the first part of the 14th parak is still continuation of the Isser Shchutei Chutz. The mission established that if we take a carbon that could have been brought inside and we brought it outside, so we're in violation of Shchutei Chutz. Notably excluded from this as the Mishnah is anything which is Mechusar Zman. If anything is premature, so one is not going to be in violation of Shchutei Chutz, and the explanation is very simple. Since in the current state it can't be offered right now in the Beis HaMikdash, therefore there's no violation for somebody who does this outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah went through a number of different examples, and in yesterday's daf we covered why exactly the Mishnah went through all these different examples. The Mishnah goes on to say, if you take a look back on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Mechusar Zman, Bein Begufo Bein Bebalav, if it's a Mechusar Zman, whether the prematurity either deals with the person, or I should say better, with the carbon or with the person, Eiz Mechusar Zman Bebalav. So what exactly are examples of Mechusar Zman as it relates to the owner? So Azava Yoles Mitzora. So it's referring to a person who's going through a Tahara process, but in the course of going through a Tahara process, he has not yet concluded his Tahara. So under those circumstances, the person himself is Mechusar Zman. Consequently, says the Mishnah, so if they offer their asham or their chatas outside, they're going to be pater because it's too early for them to do so. If they bring an ola or a shlamim outside, so then they're going to be chayav. Okay, that is what we learned together in the Mishnah. The Gemara now comments over here. We are in the Gemara in Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. And the first comment of the Gemara is Mechusar Zman V'hani B'nei Hashamas Ninu. So the Gemara says that these people over here are all subject to bringing the Karban Asham, right? We're discussing the Zav Yoledes and Mitzora. So the Mishnah describes how they're bringing their Chatas and their Asham. So the Gemara says, well, who's bringing an Asham? So Amr Ziri Tani Mitzora B'Hadayu. So Ziri teaches us that the Mitzora is to be taught together with them in the Mishnah. Now it happens to be in our Mishnah we do have the word Mitzora. So it seems to be that the Gemara was operating with a version of the Mishnah that didn't have the word Mitzora as part of the text of the Mishnah. But if you look back at our Mishnah in fact has the text of the Mitzora. Anyway, continuing in the Gemara, Olosem v'shal mehem. So v'hani b'nei shlamim ninu. So the Gemara's next question is as follows. If you look at the people mentioned in the Mishnah, so we're talking about a Zava, Yoledes, and Mitzora. Who of those are bringing a Karban Shlamim? The answer is none of them. So why are we talking about a Shlamim? V'hani b'nei Shlamim ninu? So I'm Rav Sheshes Tani, Nazir. So so Rav Sheshes says that what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to insert the word Nazir into the Mishnah. So Dezi'iri Kavua Tanai, Rav Sheshes Lo Kavua Tanai. And it's a question of whether or not you understand that that's part of the Mishnah, or you actually incorporate it into the text of the Mishnah itself. But in either event, Nazir is now included in the Mishnah. Once you include Nazir in the Mishnah, so then it works out very good because the Nazir does in fact bring a Karban Shlamim. Okay. For a good part of today's daf, now we're going to be dealing with a statement made by Rav Chilkia. So this next statement of the Gemara is basically going to be covering half of today's daf. Am Rav Chilkia, Rav Tuvi, Lo Shanu Ella Lishmo. Okay, so we are again talking about a Zav, a Zava, a Mitzora, a Yoledes. All of them are obligated to bring a Karban Asham. If they bring so Mechusar Zman in a premature state, so because it is not fit for them to bring a Karban at this juncture, so they're not in violation of Shchutei Chutz. That's the basic rule of the Mishnah. That's the starting point for this whole discussion. What the Gemara now is going to argue is as follows. Yes, it's true that they're going to be exempt from the Isser of Shchutei Chutz, but that's only if they bring the Karban Lishmo. In other words, with the proper intent. However, if they bring the Karban Asham prematurely, Mechusar Zman, but also Shalo Lishmo, so then you're going to be Chayev. Now, this is obviously a lot to consider, it's a lot to think about, but basically, if you follow through with the logic of the Gemara, it actually makes sense. Consider that if I shechted prematurely, so in other words, right at this juncture in time, it's not yet fit to be brought into the Beis HaMikdash, therefore you should not be in violation of Shchutei Chutz. On the other hand, because you are shechting a Shelo Lishmo, when you take a Karban Asham and you shecht a Shelo Lishmo, what you're effectively doing with a Karban Asham, and remember, this could be done with a Karban Asham, is that you are actually reassigning it, repurposing it as a Karban Ola. And we also learned together that a carbon ola brought by a zav, a mitzvah yoledes, even though it's being brought in a premature state, is going to be chayev. So what Rav Chilkiah now arrives at, what he concludes, is that if they would take the carbon asham and they would shecht it prematurely, but they would do so shelo lishmo, and because it can be converted into a ola, so as a result of that, consequently, they're going to be violating shchut echutz. Now, I know that that's a mouthful. I know that was a lot of information to process altogether, but it's exactly what Rav Chilkiah is saying. In fact, let's see inside. Since it would have been fit to be brought shelo lishmo in the Beis Hamikdash, so therefore, if he shechted shelo lishmo outside the Beis Hamikdash, he'd be violating shchut echutz. The Gemara continues. Lishmo nami nechayev. So why don't we say now that because he's going to be chayev on shelo lishmo, let's also be let him be chayev on lishmo as well. Hovarai shelo lishmo bifnim. So the Gemara says, since we have just established that he's going to be violating the Isser shelo lishmo, so why don't we also say that he's going to be violating the Isser even if he shecht to carbon lishmo? So the Gemara's response is no. Akira. No, because if I shechted the carbon asham lishmo, I'm sorry, let me say it clearer. If he shechted the carbon asham lishmo, so the Gemara says that wouldn't work out because, again, for him it's premature. It's too early for him to bring the carbon asham. And the fact of the matter is that, yes, it's true. You could convert it to a ola by assigning it shelo lishmo, but that requires an akira. Akira over here, if you look at Rashi, Cholkama delo i'akir, shame asham minei stame. As long as you were not makir, as long as you didn't reassign it and redesignate it, it's still a carbon asham. And it's too early. In other words, it's mechus hazman. So according to Rav Chilkiah, the only way that this zav, or zava, or mitzora, or yeledes, can be subject to the Isser of Shchut Echutz, even as they're bringing their carbon asham, shelo lishmo, the only way they can bring their carbon asham and be chayiv shchut echutz on their carbon asham is only if they bring it prematurely, but only with an assignment or a designation of shelo lishmo, because it could be converted into a carbon ola. Okay, and on this, the Gemara now is going to, for the remainder of the first amud of today's daf, test whether or not this is a good assertion or not a good assertion. So Rav Huna says, just from a svara standpoint, what a strange conclusion. That what we're suggesting now is that there's a situation in which one would violate the Isser of Shchut Echutz by taking a carbon shechting it shelo lishmo, even though had you shechted it lishmo, you would not have violated Shchut Echutz. Meaning it seems to be unreasonable. So the Gemara first of all says Velo Vahare, we are now on the top of Kuftes Vava Medalef. Very Pesach Bashayim Moshana Denu Kash Lishmo Vikasha Shalolishmo. So the Gemara says, what about the Karban Pesach when I'm not shechting on the 14th day of Nisan? So the Gemara says, as the Gemara always says regarding Karban Pesach that's not shechting on Nisan, Bashayim Moshana Shlamim Nimnu. The Gemara says no. Because after Pesach, after the 14th day of Nisan comes and goes, so the Karban automatically reassigns to a Karban Shlamim. So that's not a good example. So and so now what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to quote a number of brises which would either support or discredit the premise of Rav Chilkiah. Okay, so let's begin. Lema misayele. Let's consider now the following as being a support for Rav Chilkiah. Yachol shani motzi. I would have thought that we should exclude af olas mechus hazman bebalim ve'asham nazir ve'asham mitzora. A ola that was offered prematurely by the owner. And again, when we say premature, it's because let's do it simply. He right now is in a position where he's not yet finished his purification process, therefore he cannot bring the carbon. Together with an Asham Nazir and Asham Mitzara, Tamalam or Shor, Mikomakom, Kesef Mikomakom, Eiz Mikomakom. Okay, that is the end of the Braisa. Now what the Braisa is doing is, based on the extra words in the Torah, where the Torah in the Parsha Achrimos of Shchut Echutz, which we've gone over a number of times, the Torah actually outlines which animals one's going to be violating. The Torah, as Rashi points out over here, does not need to tell us which animals one's going to be violating Shchut Echutz, because basically the Torah just simply listed all the animals that are kosher to be brought as a carbon. And by the Torah adding these extra words, what the Torah is teaching us is that this comes to include even an Ola and an Ashan that was Shechted Shelo Lishmo. I'm sorry, that was shechted prematurely. Now, v'ilu chata shayre. Now, you'll notice in this brisa that conspicuously absent from the brisa is a carbon chatas, meaning it only talks about the olan, it only talks about the asham. So, b'mai. So, what exactly, b'mai skin, and what exactly are we dealing with? Ilem b'zmano. Are we talking about where we shechted it in the right time? Ma'ir yasham, afilu chatas nami. If you shechted a carbon in the right time, so then you're violating shchut echutz regardless of what carbon you shecht, whether it be an asham or whether it be a chatas. So, that can't be. Ela shalol l'zmano. So it must be that we're talking about shechting the carbon prematurely. Uvamai. Ilem lishmo asham amai chayev. Now, are you shechting the carbon asham prematurely, but as a carbon asham? So you're not going to be chayev, as we learned together back in the Mishnah. El alav shelo lishmo. So it must be, and again, the Gemara now is piecing together and speculating, but it must be that the carbon asham was shechted, A, prematurely, and B, shelo lishmo. And what the Bryce is teaching us is that you're going to be chayev. Now, if all this is true, so we have now what is a wonderful support for Rav Chilkiah. So the Gemara rebuffs. La'olam b'zmano v'shalol l'shmo. The Gemara says no. Really what happened is that you shechted in the right time, but you shechted shalol l'shmo. The Rebbe Eliezer here, damar makshin and ashal mechatas. So and we go back to the very beginning of the Masechta. You remember back on Daf Beis where, according to Rebbe Eliezer, ashal mechatas are on the same level, where if I shechted with a kavan of shalol l'shmo, we know that it disqualifies a carbon chatas, and he argues that not only does it disqualify a carbon chatas, it also disqualifies a carbon ashen as well. So what his point is that even though it was shechted in the right time, but with a shalol l'shmo designation, but because this carbon would have been fit to be brought into the Beis HaMikdash, therefore one is going to be liable for the iser of shchut echutz. Now, why is the Brisa only talking about the carbon ashram? Why is the Brisa not talking about the carbon chatas? V'tana tafa v'hu adin ikar. Even though it dealt with the secondary carbon. Now, ashram over here, secondary carbon, because in terms of the shalol l'shmo idea, so primarily it's mentioned by carbon chatas, and according to Rebbe Eliezer, ashram is secondary. What the Gemara here describes as being tafel. So the Brisa was only describing it in the tafel state. But who had them? But the same thing would be true even by the ikar, meaning by the carbon chatas as well. So what the Gemara basically did is it deflected the proof, and the Gemara now is going to go on to another part of the brisa. Tashma, yachush animar be'olam mechusas man begufa vechatas bein begufa bein bebalam. Now I might have thought to have included a carbon ola that's mechusas man. It's premature. How is it premature? Begufa, meaning the actual animal itself is premature. Like we discussed already, an animal has to be 8 days old before it can be offered as a carbon. If it's anything under 8 days of age, it's premature. A chatas, bein begufa, bein bebalam. A carbon chatas, which is premature either because the animal itself is premature or because the owner, meaning the owner has not finished his purification process. So the Brisa concludes, no, because since right now in the current state, the Ola and the Chatas cannot be offered in the Beis HaMikdash, therefore one is not violating Shchut Echutz. Again, let's take a look at the Brisa. The Gemara now pinpoints what is conspicuously absent from this part of the Brisa. V'ilu Asham Shairei. Asham is not mentioned this part of the Brisa. B'mai Iskina. And again, the Gemara says, what are we dealing with? Ilem l'shmo. Are we shechting the carbon correctly with the right intent? Asher nami lifterei. So then an ashram should be included as well. So el alav shalol l'shmo. It must be that it was shechted without the right intent. So and again, what the Gemara now is asserting, that this part of the Brisa is clearly talking about premature, because the Brisa says it. What we're speculating now is that it was shechted shalol l'shmo. And what we're now saying is that by carbon chatas it's no good, by carbon ashram it would be good. And again, now, if all this is right, and that's a big if all this is right, we have a support for Rav Chilkiah. And again, the Gemara deflects. La'olam shelo l'shmo. V'rev elazerhi demekish hashem l'chatas. So the Gemara says, no. Really what happens is that it was shechtu shelo l'shmo. And the author of this brace is Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar connects the ashram and the chatas. And Tana Iker v'kol sheken l'tafel. And what about the fact that Ashram is conspicuously absent from this Brisa? The Brisa over here was focusing on the main, meaning the carbon chatas, but included in that also was the carbon Ashram as well. Tashma. The Gemara is going to try to bring another proof for Rav Chilkiah. Dechi asa Rav Dimi amar Tana debe Rav Levi. So the Gemara now quotes in the name of Rav Levi. Yachosh animotzi af olas mechusar zman bebalim. I might have thought that we should exclude a carbon ola that's mechusas man bebalim, where the owner's premature. Again, we're talking about where the owner has not finished his purification process. Asham Nazir v'Asham Mitzara, and together with the Asham Nazir and the Asham Mitzara as well. Now, we're going to skip the parentheses. my Tamuda. What exactly is the point of the Braisa? The Braisa is very succinct and not very clear. Am Ravina shor mikol makom, kesef mikol makom, eiz mikol makom. So, according to Ravina, what the Braisa is teaching us is that because of the extra words in the Torah, as we already pointed out, the Torah actually enumerates all the different karbanos that one would be chayav for shchut echutz, unnecessary, as we already know, that these are the animals that are fit to be brought as a karban. Why did the Torah mention these particular karbanos? To come and include animals that you might have thought would not be subject to shchut echutz, and they are in fact subject to shchut echutz. What we just listed over here is a carbon ola, which is mechusar zman, bebalim, where the owner itself is not yet finished with his purification process, and the Ashem Nazir and the Ashem Metzara. Now that, of course, is very difficult because previously we said that the Ashem that the Ashem that's brought by an owner who has not finished his purification process is going to be exempt from Shchut Echutz. So, hi, my Rumya, Kida Amar, Amar Av Nachman Mishum, the Rami Detan Debe Rav Levi, Ad Ni Levi. The Gemara notes because there's a steerer between the Braisa we just learned together and the following Braisa. Asham Nazir, Vasham Mitzar, Shashachtam, Shalalushman, Ksherim, Velo Alu Labalam, Lashum Chova, Shachtam Mechusrasman, Bebalam, Osha, Yubene Shtayim, Vishachtan, Psulin. This Braisa clearly states that a carbon Asham that was shachted prematurely is going to be disqualified. Because it's going to be disqualified, therefore you're not violating Shchut Echutz. And so what we have now is a contradiction between Braisa number one and Braisa number two. Braisa number one tells us that an Ashram that is shechted prematurely would be violating Shchut Echutz. Braisa number two says just the opposite. Umeshan Rav Dimi lo kasha kan lishmo kan shelo lishmo. And so, once again, our answer is going all the way back to the beginning of the whole sugya. Meaning that if I shechted the carbon Ashram correctly, meaning with the proper intent, and because it's premature, therefore it's disqualified. And therefore one is not going to be violating Shchut Echutz. If, however, it was shechted shelo lishmo, the Ashram now repurposes and transforms into a carbon ola. And because it does so therefore one is going to be violating Shchut Echutz if one shechted that outside the Beis HaMikdash. So basically, the contradiction between the two braisas brings us all the way back to the point of Rav Chilkiah. Rav Ashi, now what Rav Ashi is going to do in the Gemara is basically the same thing, but he's just going to simply compare the Mishnah to the Braisa. Rav Ashi Rami Masisa na Braisa Mishani, Kan Lishmo, Kan Shalo Lishmo. Okay. So all indicators seem to indicate that Rav Chilkiah is in fact making a correct point, that when I take a carbon Ashram and shecht it, and it's done shelo lishmo, it's done, well, first let's start off with it, where it was done mechusar zman, it was done prematurely. Prematurity over here means that the owner of the carbon is not yet qualified to bring it. In other words, he hasn't finished his 7-day purification process. And meanwhile, if he offers it outside the Beis HaMikdash, so if he offers it with the intent of an Ashram, so because of its prematurity, because it's disqualified, he's not going to be violating the Isser of Shchut Echutz. However, if he shechts it shelo lishmo, thereby reassigning it, repurposing it as a carbon ola, so therefore he's going to be chayv on the Isser of Shchut Echutz. Lema tehavit yufta de Rav Huna. The Gemara says, well, if all this is true, so then this seems to be problematic to the opinion of Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna, if you remember, in the very beginning of the sugya said, all this makes, of course, no sense. How could it possibly be that one is going to be violating an Isser of Shchut Echutz when he shechts the carbon shelo lishmo, but meanwhile, when he shechts the carbon lishmo, he's not going to be violating? Meaning, he said from the very beginning, this seems to be an unreasonable position. So Amlecha Rav Huna, Hacha B'mayiskin, Kegon Shehifrish Shamos La'achrayav. So Rav Huna says, I will explain the Braisa, but I will do so in a slightly different manner, and this will be a defense for his position. Let's say the carbon was shechted le'achrayas. In other words, he set aside, he only needed one carbon asham, and he set aside two. And again, the second one served as his insurance policy. Dechan minayu meikara olahi. Under those circumstances, since he only needs one, so by definition, the second one is going to automatically convert into a carbon ola. Kid Rav Huna, as we turn now to the top of Kufta's Vav Amud Beis, this goes in accordance with the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Huna Rav, Dam Rav Huna Rav, Asham Shinitak Laraya, once a carbon Asham is no longer necessary, literally it is left out for pasture, it's just simply unnecessary anymore. V'shachtu stam, and it was shachted. So then kasher la'ola, so then it by default converts into a carbon ola. So according to him, that would be the case that we're describing in the Braisa, not the case that Rav Chilke was describing where he was shachted shalal lishmo. And if in fact you go with this pshat in the Braisa, so then what you've done is you have diffused the entire proof as the Gemara brought for Rav Chilke. Okay, Adkan. That is the end of the discussion. Just as a quick summary statement, the Gemara is entertaining the discussion of shechting a carbon asham when the owner has not yet finished his tahara. Under those circumstances, if he took his asham or his chatas, whichever one he needed, and he shechted it outside the Beis HaMikdash, he would not be violating the Isser of Shchutei Chutz, because it is not yet qualified to be brought into the Beis HaMikdash. However, what argues Rav Chilkia, if the carbon asham was shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, but with a machshava, with an intent of shalal lishmo, he would be violating it. Why would that be? Because a carbon asham that was shechted for the purposes of with a shalal lishmo intent, it defaults, it repurposes, it gets reassigned as a carbon ola. And we know, we already established back in the Mishnah, that he would be in violation of shchutei chutz if he shechted a carbon ola, even if he did so prematurely. And what the Gemara did for an entire Amud, from the moment that Rav Chilkia presented his position all the way to the top of Kuftes Vav Amud Beis, is it brought various brisos and mishnayos and seemingly stira contradictions between the mishnayos and the brisos that would either lend support or discredit his assertion. The Gemara at the end seems to support his basic assertion. We are continuing in the Gemara. We're on Kuf Tezvav Amud Beis Amalami Basar Chatas. The next point that we're going to make is basically just a repeat of what we saw back in the Mishnah, but over here we're just going to base it on a couple of psukim. If I take something that should not be brought on the Mizbech itself, like let's say for example the meat of Chatas or the meat of Asham, so and he offers that on the Mizbech outside, he's not violating Shchutei Chutz or Hela B'Chutz, and the reason why is very simple, because it doesn't belong on the Mizbech. Here the Braisa says it clearly. Tana Rabbanan. Minayin lamala mi basar chatos mi basar asham, the meat of a chatos or the meat of the asham. Mi basar kashe kadashim or the meat of kashe kadashim. We already pointed out that this is the kivsei atzeres, the two lambs that are brought on Shavuos. Umi basar kashim kalim and the meat of regular kashim kalim, meaning the shlamim. Umi moser haomer, the remaining part of the carbon omer that should not go on the mizbech. Shtei alechem, the two loaves that on Shavuos that should not go on the mizbech. Lechem upon him, the 12 loaves weekly that do not go on the Mizbech. Shayari Minachos, any of the leftovers of a mincha that do not go on the Mizbech. She Pater, in all these cases, if he took them and he offered them on the Mizbech outside the Beis HaMikdash, he would be exempt from Hela B'chutz. How do I know that? Tamalomer Ola, Ma'ola Shiruya Lahala, Avkosh Shiruya Lahala. So in other words, it has to be like a carbon Ola, meaning that it belongs on the Mizbech. Minayin Sha'afa Yotek V'Abola. What about other activities? Like yitzika, that's the pouring of the oil, bola, that's the mixing of the flour and the oil, haposes, it's breaking up the carbon mincha, hamoleach is the salting, hamein, if it's the waving, hamegish, the presentation of the mincha, hamisader hashulchan, organizing the table, putting the loaves on the table, hametev es aneros, or cleaning the candles in the Beis HaMikdash, hakom, it's doing the kemitza, hamikabel, the accepting of the blood, bachutz, if any of these activities were done outside, shepater. Tamalama Asher Ya'ala Ola Ozevach. Maha La Shihi Gmar Avoda. Just like offering a carbon is the conclusion of the Avoda, Avkol Shi Gmar Avoda, so too anything else that is considered the Gmar Avoda, the conclusion of the Avoda. So, in other words, in order to violate, meaning with the onish of Kares, in order to violate the Isra of Hela B'chutz, that has to be something which is concluding. Parenthetically, by the way, I'll just simply point out that it really, when you go back to the first Isser, meaning Shchutei Chutz is really a novel idea. It's a Chiddush in the Torah, because Shchita is obviously not a concluding Avoda. Shchita is just the beginning. But, okay, that's true, but the Torah, however, says that Shchita is considered an Isser, meaning with a Kares penalty. So, okay, Ad Shelo Hukam HaMishkan. We're on Kuf Tezvav Amud Beis. We are now at the two dots, and we're now going to the history, the halachic history of the Beis HaMikdash and Karbanos. And how did people offer Karbanos before the Mishkan was set up? So Yosef Rav Huna bar Rav Ketina Kamed Rav Chisav Kakare. Now here an interesting piece of Gemara where the Amoraim are sitting in front of a Chumash and they're reading the Pasuk, and the Pasuk says Vayishlach es Narei B'nei Yisrael. Okay, and this is now a description of Mamad Har Sinai. It's in the end of Parshas Mishpatim. And here the Torah outlines that there were Narei B'nei Yisrael. Now, literally, the words translate as the young of the Jewish people. However, we know that the Narei in question over here is a reference to the Bechoros, the firstborns. And seemingly, what the Torah is telling us is that they are doing the Avoda. Amar Le Hachi Amar Av Asi Upasku. Now, a statement was made in the name of Rav Asi, and that is Upasku, and that is that they stopped. What does the Gemara mean by this? Rashi over here offers two explanations. If you take a look at Rashi inside, I'm going to read the Rashi inside. Amalei Rav Huna Hachi Amar Rav Asi Upasku. Oso Hayom Pasku Avoda Min HaBechoros. So one pshat Rashi says is that this is the last time they offered any karbanos. Shemisinitz Nistavo Al Kahuna. Because remember, this is Mamad Har Sinai, which means that we were given instructions of the Torah. Kidyalof Lakalam, Vishimshu Nadav Aviv Kol Oso Shana Rishona Ashuhu Kama Mishkan V'Meso. Meaning, from this point going forward, for the next year, now it's not exactly a year, because this is the sixth day of Sivan. But from here until the beginning of, from here until the beginning of the Hakamas HaMishkan, which is going to be taking place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year. So, you know, about 10 months. So, the Nadav and Avihu served in the Beis HaMikdash. So, we're basically looking at now, historically, the last time Bechoros ever served and did any type of Avoda with the Karbanos. That is one pshat that is offered. That is one pshat that is offered by Rashi. Like, let's take a look at the next Rashi. Lishna Achrina Hachyamar of Asi. Upaske. Now, for those of you who appreciate laning, you're going to really enjoy this Rashi. Tzarech lahafzik kan niginas tam. Rashi says that when you read the pasuk over here, so you are going to have to pause when laning the Torah. Hamikra be'esnachta. What kind of trop are you going to have to put over here? So you put in esnachta. So if you're familiar with laning and trop, so you know the esnachta is basically the hard pause in the pasuk. It's the closest thing you have to an end of a pasuk. It's basically, in English, it would be like the comma. But it's stronger than a comma. Like maybe semicolon. But the but in other words, when you get to this pasuk over here, you simply pause. V'lo yikra b'tam pashta. And don't read it with the trop of the pashta. The pashta is a trop that basically goes into the next word. Kamosha anu karim oso. Now Rashi notes that it happens to be that our minhag is that we read it with a pashta. Dikishu nikra betam pashta mashma shekriyas narei b'nei Yisrael davak al vayalu olos. Because if you read it with a pashta, says Rashi, so that means to say that the phrase narei b'nei Yisrael segues into the next phrase of vayalu olos. Mashma shehim ha'alum, which sounds like they actually offer the karbanos. Avakashata kore besnachta. However, if you read it with an esnachta, says Rashi, omedes ateva levada. So now the phrase stands by itself. Ve'inu davak al v'ya'alu. And that means to say that they were there, but they didn't offer. Ve'yeshlamu shelo shalchem el alahavi karbanos, and they were only there to bring the karbanos. V'lamur aleihem. V'ya'alu olos osam shekshem la'alosam. Who actually offered it? Only those people who were qualified. And who were they? Says Rashi. Dahinu nada v'avihu shemishabo l'sinai hufreshu ha'kohanim kidiyaf l'kaman. In this version of Rashi, basically, once they got to Sinai, the Bechoros didn't do anything. Meaning they didn't offer even at Sinai. So just two pshatim that was offered in Rashi. The first pshat in Rashi is pasku, meaning that this is the last time that the Bechoros actually did the avoda. Or the second Rashi, which we just went through, is that even at this time, the Bechoros didn't do any avoda whatsoever. They were just there and literally just watching. And the word, when the Gemara says pasku, what the Torah is telling us is instructions of how to read the Torah and the proper trop for the Torah. Really interesting, by the way, point in of itself, is that the Amoraim seem to be debating in terms of what should be the proper trop when reading the pasuk. we have a general idea, which is expressed in the beginning of Masechta Megillah, that when it comes to the trop is part of the Torah Misina. It's part of the tradition. But over here, where the Amoraim seem to be deliberating, I mean, it's a simple reading according to the Rashi that we just went through, is whether or not this should be the right way we're reading the Chumash, or should we be inserting a different trop in the Chumash? Okay. Anyway, Savar le'usuvim imasisan. So, now at this point in time, he thought to himself, oh, but wait a second, what about the Mishnah? Shamed dekamer mishmei derav ader ba'ava ola shikriv v'yisrael b'midbar inatun neheshav v'nituach. So, usvei b'raisa deshavya b'kulo. So instead of asking a question from the Mishnah, so he asked a question from the Braisa, because the Braisa is more comprehensive, meaning the Braisa has more difficulties with it. So instead of asking from the Mishnah, he's asking for now from the Braisa. Ditanya, because we learned in the following Braisa. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to be quoting a Braisa, which would certainly seem to be difficult against this idea that we just learned. Ashlo hukam ha-mishkan, so until the Mishkan was set up, Habamos mutaros, people could offer bamos in their backyards. Va'avoda be'becharos, avoda was done by the bechor. Va'kol k'sherim lahakriv, v'hema chay va'of, zichar menekevos. Now you can offer whatever animal you want. Domesticated wild birds, males, females, tamimim, balei momim, animals that were physically perfect, animals that were physically blemished. Tahorim avalot tamim. They have to be kosher animals, they can't be not kosher animals. Va'kol karvu olos. Every carbon up until this point in time was offered as a carbon ola. V'ola sheikriv Yisrael b'midbar tu'una hefsha v'nituach. An ola that's offered by any of the Jews in the desert requires hefsha v'nituach. And nachrim b'zman hazeh v'shan lasos kain. And nachrim nowadays are in fact allowed to do this. Okay, so that is the braisa, quote unquote, the comprehensive braisa. Now, what do we have? So we have in this Braisa, seemingly, a discussion of who is offering in the Mishkan until the Mishkan was set up, and the Braisa tells us that the Bechorim are the ones who offered. Meanwhile, we just learned together that Mamad Har Sinai was the last time, or immediately before Mamad Har Sinai, was the last time the Bechorim offered. So what we have over here seemingly is a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Answers the Gemara Tanaihi. It's a machlokis Tanaim. Detanya v'gama kohanim anokshim al Hashem yizkadashu. Rav Yishuv ben Karcha omer zu prishus becharos. Who got separated to do the avoda? So one version is, one opinion of Yishuv ben Karcha is prishus becharos. Firstborns. Rabbi omer zu prishus nadav v'aviyu. And Rabbi's of the opinion that it is nadav v'aviyu. So basically the question of who did the avoda from Mamad Har Sinai and onward is subject to a machlokas Tanaim. And so what the Gemara now is telling us is that, yes, it's true. The Braisa that we just read together goes against the position of Rav Ada Ba'ava, but the Gemara says, but the truth of the matter is that this really expresses as a machlokas Tanaim. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Let's just quickly recap the Gemara that we did today. First half of today's daf dealt with a thesis posited by Chilkia, by Reb Chilkia, that if a carbon ashram that was offered prematurely but was offered shelo lishmo is going to be subject to the isser of shchut echutz and hela bechutz, because once you take an ashram and you shecht to shelo lishmo, so then it can be converted to an ola, and therefore one is going to be subject to the penalty of shchut echutz and hela bechutz. And for the first amud of today's Gemara, The Gemara tried to see whether or not it could be proven or disproven from various braisas. Second half of today's daf, we first of all established that the part of the carbon that should not go on the mizbech is not going to be subject to the isra of hela b'chutz. And then we started with the historical halacha of the history of karbanos. Who offered the karbanos up until the point of the Mishkan? So in our Mishnah, we learned that it was the bechor. There was a bechoros. However, we have a statement made by Rav Ada Ba'ava is that the Bechoros only worked up until Har Sinai. From Har Sinai until the Mishkan, Nadav and Aviyah were operating karbanos. Is that agreed to by everybody? The Gemara says, no, it's not. It's subject to a machlokes hatanai. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the bottom of Kuf Yadalat Amud Beis.